Joy, the elusive three-letter word. That's what this book is all about. And people today are consumed with this pursuit of happiness and joy. Just for kicks and grins, I Googled self-help books. And Google said tilt. In other words, they could not come up with the number of books that have been written, the number of motivational speakers. I know people who sign up for every type of motivational speaker that they can and read the books, and yet joy is very elusive to them. You see, the problem is when people are unable to control circumstances, they find themselves being controlled by the circumstances. And I want you to relax, because you can't control circumstances and life. We got up this morning, got our coffee, we rode over, I had my day exactly laid out. I'm gonna pick up my rental car at 8 o'clock. I'm gonna come and church and load it. I just had everything laid out, and everything just went. And I found myself having to remind myself of what my message was today. I'm just going to be very honest with you. There are things that happen that I just let it rob my joy. And I don't really think I'm the only one. I look around at people, and when their job fails, church fails, or relationship fails, what they do is they dump that relationship and then go hunt a new one. But you know, it's kind of like second marriages. If you don't do away with all of the garbage and the luggage that caused the first marriage to crash and burn, when you take that same luggage into the second marriage, the odds on that being a success drop drastically. Because you haven't dealt with anything. Biblical joy, on the other hand, is simply a settled conviction that God sovereignly controls the lives of every believer for the believer's good and for God's glory. Now, that does not mean we are puppets, we don't have a mind of our own, not at all. But you see, we have a sovereign God that is in control of even when we look at the chaos that's going on in this world. God has a plan. Nobody's taking that control from him. He's still sovereign. See, the thing that I want to point out this morning is that the circumstances of the writer, Paul, the circumstances of the reader, the Philippian church, they were not good at all. Paul wrote this: "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." I always pray with joy. "Because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Thinking of this little church brought joy to Paul. Now let's think about Paul. From conversion to the time of writing this letter, Paul had nothing but persecution. He was beaten. He was run out of town. They snuck him out of town. They put him in jail. There was one plot on his life after another. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. And now, in writing this letter, he spent 4 years in a Roman prison. Now, that does not bear any resemblance to the prison cells we have today. Today, color TV, nice 3 square meals. It's cleaned. I mean, it's not bad hotel, really. Probably 3 stars. But in Paul's day, and where they kept Paul was not in the topsail. The Roman prisons had a topsail. They had a sail under there, and many of them had that third sail on the bottom, the very bottom. He was chained. All of the fecal matter, the urine, everything from the topsail would go into the second one, and that would go down to the third one. It was dark. You couldn't see your hand in front of your eyes. And that's what Paul was at. And yet, over a dozen times in four short chapters, we read about joy and rejoice. Now, what about the church at Philippi? Well, they were very, very poor. If you have ever traveled into any Middle East country or any third world country, there is the poor and the very poor. And there's a vast difference between the two. Philippi was the very poor. It was a church that was being attacked by false teachers. There was a feud between two prominent women in the church that threatened the unity of the church to the point of splitting the church. And yet this church had joy. How do I know that? Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 these words. He said, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of God that has been given the Macedonian churches." It's the churches at Philippi, okay? "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty." Does this make any sense? Very severe trial, overflowing joy, extreme poverty. That's a sandwich of bad stuff on the outside and the joy of the Lord in the middle. "Welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." Remember, Paul has been collecting for the Jerusalem church, and he's writing letters, and he had written in 1 Corinthians to encourage the Corinthian church to finish what they promised to do. But he said here, he didn't have to do that because they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. That's the setting of this church. Joy in the church, extreme poverty, bad circumstances, everything that would give the 21st century church a pout. Just walking around pouting and go look for another church. This church, they thrived and wanted to be a part of everything. Paul wrote them in joy. They received the letter in joy. So, what is this joy thing? How many of you remember Vacation Bible School? "I got the joy, 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 joy down it," right? You'd sing that. We have that joy, and we hear about it. But yet, in the world we live in, it's generally a sad, fallen world acquainted with despair, depression, disappointment, and dissatisfaction. I mean, when you look at the world, that's what it's colored. All of the D's, depression, disappointment, dissatisfaction. People in this world are longing for lasting happiness that never comes. In fact, moments of pleasure and satisfaction are scattered through the general pain and sorrow of life. Guys, I'm not making this stuff up. You yourself know, and you know people. You yourself have been in this. You've said, you know, I just got out of some trials, just got over some problems. I wonder what's going to hit me now. You see, we have been, our mind has not been renewed in the Lord, but it has been set on the fact that this thing that is supposed to cause us to look forward to life, to have hope in life, it's fleeting because we call it happiness. And happiness is 100% circumstances. You see, most people define happiness as an attitude of satisfaction or delight based on positive circumstances, mostly beyond your control. You see, that's the issue with happiness. The circumstances, the happiness that we look for, the things that we say, this would make me happy, is out of our control. We have no control over it. We get up in the morning and we're going to get what this day has. Happiness can't be planned or programmed, nor can happiness be guaranteed. Happiness is elusive and it's uncertain. Kind of makes you gloomy, doesn't it? Huh? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh! Misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh! Depression, self-misery. For bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh!
Deep, dark depression, excessive misery.
If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. T-Hall got it right, didn't he? See, that's most often what happens. See, a lot of the attitude comes into play. Now, again, I want to inform you this morning, I am one who's swimming in the same stream of life that you are. And you see, the issue is, when we look at the Word of God, they're not just great stories that make a great novel. They are issues that if we grasp, and trust me, I get angry at myself over things that I just don't grasp. And by that I mean, I believe it, I know it, but when something hits, there you go. So I want to help us this morning. You see, enter the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? Let's talk about the gospel. Spiritual joy is not an attitude dependent on chance or circumstances. I'm going to bring a message from the book of Acts about Paul and this buddy named Silas in this very bottom of all sails, singing at midnight. That's the gospel of Christ. It's a deep, abiding confidence that regardless of what difficulty, pain, disappointment, failure, or rejection, joy remains established by God's grace and satisfaction. The joy of the Lord cannot be taken from us. We can forget that it is resident in our life and completely overlook it. And we do that simply by not remembering the things that bring joy in our life. The thing that brings joy in our life is that there is nothing can touch us in this world without God's approval. There is absolutely nothing in this world that's going, you know, the world's not going to go, let me back up. The world didn't start with a big bang, and it's not going to end in a big bang. That's somebody's lie. That's an ignorant person trying to make people have faith in something that is impossible to have faith in. I saw a man one time. He was in a debate. It really happened. And one man believed in the Big Bang Theory. And so the pastor on stage had a little paper bag, and he asked for the man's watch. And he took the watch, put it in the paper bag, turned it around, pulled a hammer out of the pulpit, and beat that watch into pieces, and handed the guy the bag and said, "I want to see all the pieces go back exactly where they ought to be." Well, they got into a kind of a commotion, but you see, that's the type of mentality that we buy into when we forget about the joy of the Lord. Let's look at some things. Joy is a gift from God. David wrote in the Psalms, let's look at Psalms 4. David wrote, "My heart, fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." It doesn't matter what goes thump in the night. There's no booger man. You remember when, if you were ever afraid of the dark, or you were in a new place, and you'd cry out at night, and everything would be okay, when the voice of Dad said, "Hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it." That is the sense of joy, that no matter how we lay down at night, David said, "My heart is filled with joy, because you dwell in safety." Not only that, God grants joy to those that believe in the gospel. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. He said, "Today in the town of David," now let me give you the background of this. From the time Malachi was written, God did not speak for over 450 years. He was silent completely. Israel went through a turmoil, wondering. Some were still holding on to the fact that a Messiah was coming. And on this particular night, shepherds keeping sheep that would be the sacrifices for the temple, they themselves could not enter the temple because they were always unclean, because they dealt with sheep. And they're in the field. Nobody's heard a word from God. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord said to them, the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Great news that would bring the joy in the gloom and the despair of a nation waiting for Messiah. Joy is produced by God the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans 14, 17, he said, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That is a work of the Spirit of God in our life. Through the righteousness that is not our own, we can't produce righteousness. All of our unrighteousness was taken by God Himself and laid on Jesus Christ. And we were instilled with the righteousness of God. And from that, this brings a peace. And from peace, it brings joy. Not only that, joy is experienced by believers as they receive God's word. Jeremiah had this to say, "When your words came, I ate them. And they were a joy and my heart's delight. And I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah is saying, when your word, and understand, Jeremiah was in a captive situation. All of Israel had been taken captive. There were a few left. Jeremiah was one of the few prophets left. And so his circumstances weren't good. But when the word of God came to him, he figuratively is saying, I ate them, they were good, and they brought joy to me. Joy is deepened by trials. Now that sounds a little weird, doesn't it? But it is. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. You became imitators of us and the Lord. Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Let me bring out something that's been said over and over. This joy of the Lord is not something we manufacture. This joy of the Lord is not something that we hunt for. It's not something you have to qualify for. When the Spirit of God takes up residence in us, this joy is a part of what takes up in residence. It's a gift given by God. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You see, without a test, you wouldn't know two things. Number one, you wouldn't know that God can bring you through that test. Secondly, you wouldn't know that you could persevere, that you could continue on, because it's like an exercise program. The more you walk, the more you lift weights, the more you stretch yourself, the stronger you become. And from that strength, endurance comes and perseverance comes, and you continue and you have this confidence in the Lord because you're seeing trials, tribulations, and problems and issues. You're seeing them and you're going through them. Do you remember a guy that spent the night with the lions? He didn't have even a hair on his cloak when he come out. Didn't even smell like a cat. Three of his buddies was in a fire. The Bible records they weren't singed. They didn't smell. It was like they were in it, but they were not of it, because there was somebody else in the fire with them, and he protected them. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish. It can never spoil. It can never fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. Let me explain that. That doesn't mean that when you get to heaven, that's where, okay, you're saved. Until then, you're hoping you are. No. Salvation, when you enter heaven's gate, that's the salvation, man. That's it. That is evident in our life. That is no longer a hope. It is a reality because we have arrived, okay? That is ready to be revealed at the last time. Believer's joy can be made complete when you set your hope in heaven. Romans 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Now, if there's a formula for joy to radiate in your life, that's it. Be joyful in the hope that we have. Because the prior verses just said it's a living hope based in salvation through Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good guarantee. Be patient in affliction. It's going to be soon over. I have to admit, I'm not good in this patience. I'm really not. I'm working on it. And I think about the time I think I got it, bam, I don't have it. And maybe you can relate to that. But see, nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to keep on. We'll keep trying. Perhaps more faithful in prayer may be the key to the patience in affliction and joyful in hope. Do you see how the scripture works out? 1 Peter again, chapter 1. Though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And then Jude puts a cap on all of it. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before all ages, now, forevermore. Amen. These are things that I've got on some 3x5 cards, some of these points. These are the key to living life. And the key to the life that we live is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to know, you know, I had somebody that watches Joe and I. We have a little podcast, Pastors with Coffee. Two old men drinking coffee and just talking about issues of life. And they wrote in, they said something like, you guys really get on a rant sometime and talk about other pastors and what they preach. Well, when we talk about that, we're not talking about other pastors that preach the gospel. We're talking about the garbage that is filling the pulpits across the world today. The garbage that said everybody's going to make it to heaven. The garbage that always begins, all you got to do. You know, that old song, all you got to do. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is this. Salvation is all in him. He's working it out in us. He that began a good work in us is going to complete it unto the day of Christ. And the end of our faith is going to be staring face to face into the one that we love and serve now, though we have not seen. And folks, that'll bring you the joy of the Lord. This morning, if you've never experienced Christ as your Savior, you've never experienced joy. Now's a great opportunity. We'll have counselors in room 3. We'll have folks here and here. If you'd like to just have someone come and pray with you, if you want private talk, they'll be in room 3. But perhaps you, like me, we need to just rehearse that God has given us the fuel to make it through the bogs of life. And that is the joy of the Lord that is complete through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this gospel. Thank you, Lord, that, Father, you don't give up on us when we fail. You don't, God, take away our joy. You just lead us back to it. And so today I pray that you would strengthen us by your might. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.